The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
It is News Talk. It's the Pat Kenny Show. It's Anton in for Pat. My guest has a remarkable life story. Starting at nine, when rebel soldiers came to his village of Lumule in northern Uganda, looking to recruit young boys to serve in the armed forces. And it went from there to him becoming a philanthropist, working to provide healthcare and education and services back to that villages, or that village. He is Dennis O'Quera. Dennis, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Take us back to that starting position. You, as 9 years old, being recruited as a boy soldier, what happened?
I mean, I was born in this community. And the civil war was brewing. At that time, obviously, I didn't know it was a civil war. I just see men with guns walking around. It got worse. The government said these are rebels, and any community members that sees them should report them. And I get a handful of people reported them, and then it turned. So the community then started not to trust these guys. They're called Load Resistant Army. The communities didn't trust them anymore, and then they forced to recruit more rebels. And they got children. They started with adults first, and obviously the adults would escape from them, and you know, and
when you say recruit, this is effectively enslave. I mean, this isn't voluntary recruitment.
It's force. It's force. A lot of threats. A lot of killing. I mean, the men.
How did they come for you?
So with mine, I escaped narrowly three times. The first time was I got up early morning, brushing my teeth, going to school. You would hear a school bell and it's safe to go. And then I heard the school bell. I got up, brushing my teeth, and then I saw some guys running around. So what they would do is they would loot food from other homes and catch like chicken and goats and stuff and take it with them for their food. 'Cause they walk from villages to villages, they walk for miles daily, looting. I shouted at him to stop chasing the chicken because I knew one of my friends, this chicken belonged to one of my friends. And then he didn't stop. He carried on. And then I shouted again. And then suddenly he stopped and just glared at me for a little while. And then I got nervous. And my grandma was inside the house. We had like a mad hat. That's what I was born in. I lived in it. My grandma realized something was wrong and then called me back in. So I went in, she shut the door. My grandma never really liked running to hide from. She's like, I'm old, this is my home, I'm not running. So most nights, people ran and we don't know people have run. We're still in the house. So this was what happened. We realized everybody in the villages had already gone to hide the night before. And it was just me and my grandma that just stayed in.
And what would they do with children when they got them?
When they got the children, they would basically ask them to carry goods. You start by carrying looted goods. And then they'll give you a gun. So you have to prove yourself that you are worthy. And these children did so many awful stuff. I mean, like they would ask an adult, is like, you know, if you don't want to join them, they would say short sleeve or long sleeve. Short sleeve means your arm got cut off here, and long sleeve means your arm, your wrist got cut off.
And it would be children who would do it?
Children would do it. Children would do it. They just use children to do the most horrific things. They did the raping. They would do the rape, abduct girls, and girls would be given to men that this is your husband. And these women have children with these guys and they still stay in the bush. And these children, the children that were born in the bush were the most vicious one because they've grown seeing just evilness.
So how did you escape that environment? How did you ultimately escape northern Uganda?
my last day in Lumule, my last days, I had the school bell. After a few days, we had not had any school bell. And then I had the school bell and I was like going to school. So normally you come from hideout about 8. And then you hear the school bell, you go to school. Sometimes school would start late because if it's not safe, school would start late. But when you hear school bell, it means you can go. So we came from hideout in the bush and we stayed in. And then I heard the school bell and my grandma was like, okay. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go. Brush my teeth. Normally when I go to school, my grandma would go to the farm, to the field. So me walking to the school, my grandma followed me on this occasion. She never normally followed. And then she followed me. As I was about to approach the school compound, I see men on the school compound with children sitting on the floor, on the grass. And then my grandma called me back. And then he's like, no, we have to go. So we went straight to our hideout. And it turns out it was rebels. They rang the school bell. My grandma said the school bell rang differently compared to how she normally hears it. And this is how I got saved.
Now, you then went from Lumule to Britain, to the UK. How did that happen?
Yeah, so my aunt lived in another city called Gulu, which was relatively safe at that time. So my grandma reached out to her, said, come and get Dennis because he's going to get abducted. So she came and got me from there and took me to Gulu. And she took 12 other kids to save them from abduction. So I ended up in Gulu with 12 other kids from the village. And at this point, I had not met my dad. My dad was escaping himself. My mom at this point was already blocked off the rebels. She could not come. Any car that was seen without a convoy, an army convoy, would get blown away and everybody killed. So my mom at this point, I had not seen my mom. And I ended up in Gulu. Gulu was safe. And from there, my dad didn't know where my dad was. But my dad was trying to make his way to the UK. So my dad ended up in the UK and then got us away from Gulu. Gulu got really bad at this time. Like we would have to go. The army barracks would welcome children to sleep within their compound. Gulu was a town, so there's no bush to hide out easily like that. So we would go and sleep on the army barracks compounds or near the fences of army barracks where rebels would not go. This was our daily thing. They wouldn't let adults, like parents, go inside the army barrack to sleep, but they would let children. And then, so you would leave your family and then come back the next day, hope that they're okay. There are some, occasionally, you know, you find your parents. A lot of people lost their parents, come back the next day, and their parents are either dead or abducted. This went on for years. My dad got to the UK and then told my aunt, let's get you guys out of northern Uganda.
So what age were you when you finally got to the UK then?
11, 12.
And your schooling and all of that, so your life from 11 was in the UK. How did you end up becoming a model?
You know, I got after a few years in the UK, I got scouted. I was just walking. Just walking, shop window.
The classic story. Somebody comes up and says, have you ever thought about modeling?
And yeah, someone said, hey, are you a model? Are you signed to anyone? And I was baffled. What does that mean? And she said, we think you can be a model. And I was like, oh, okay. What do you want me to do? And they said, okay, I'll give you a card. You get your parents to call us. So I gave my dad the card, and my dad thought that was the most ridiculous thing he's ever had. And he's like, model, what? No chance. You know, focus on your education. And for me, you know, I knew that my dad brought us to the UK to have an opportunity to be educated. And I've always wanted to be educated because from the age when I was born until about 7, you know, I hadn't been to a classroom. And then when I started going to a classroom, the rebels stopped us from it. So I've always wanted to be educated. And I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna study that. Don't worry about it. And then I got scared again later on. And I just thought, you know what? I'm gonna give it a go. I saw my dad was struggling to help my aunt in Uganda.
And who did you model for? Where might we have seen your image?
Oh my God. I've been very lucky. I've been so lucky. I've modeled for a lot of good brands. I've been very lucky.
Now, a lot of people might at that point say, right, I have carved out a good life in the UK. I have a good professional career going and I had a bleak and difficult time in Uganda. I will put all that behind me. You did the opposite. You decided to try to give back to Lumule. How?
Yes. So I took on modeling just so I can help my father to pay my cousin's school fees. That was the only reason. So I thought, I've got nothing to lose. If I can help my dad to pay school fees for my three of my cousins, I would do that. So I started making money from it. And I'm grateful that my modeling kicked off as soon as I signed. So my dad would basically ask my aunt and said, oh, I'm sorry, I can't send money for this person's school fees. And then my aunt would be like, Dennis already paid it. I'm like, Dennis paid it. Like, you know, well, how? And then obviously my dad found out I was modeling and stuff. So I paid all of my cousins with school fees. They all graduated. When the last one was about to graduate, I asked my aunt, I said, aunt, the war is finishing. It's prepared starting to move back. I want to extend that support I've been giving to my cousin to the community, because this community took care of me. You know, there were days I hid in the bush with just random people, and they took care of me. They gave me a blanket. So I felt like I need to give something back. I need to extend that luck that I've had.
And that became a foundation.
Yes, that became Lumule Foundation. So I basically, in 2019, I saw that a lot of girls, especially girls, a lot of them were at home and carrying children, because I would send sanitary pads, nappies and formula food, pens, books. But so many young girls were carrying children. And I thought maybe they're just babysitting. But it turns out these were single moms, like 15-year-old, you know, 13-year-old pregnant girls. And I was like, what can we do to stop this? Because these girls are... Women are the real backbone of our communities in Uganda. I think, and I know it's in the world, and yet we're not supporting them a lot. So I was like, auntie, let's support these girls. So I started building a health hub to give them formula food, especially a young mom, to give them formula food, someone to advise them about having a family, you know, staying longer in school, you know, instead of getting pregnant early, giving them an opportunity and a vocational space. So we ended up training, tailoring and hairdressing for the girls. And I saw the need. As a kid, I wanted to eat in school. Okay. I went in school with almost an empty stomach and then have to run with an empty stomach to hide. But now I have children in school that I could feed them.
If people listening to you, Dennis, want to find out more about the foundation, or if they want to contribute to the foundation, where can they find the data?
You can go to, so we're working with the Kind Foundation, and the Kind Foundation is supporting Lumule Foundation. We have 917 kids that we're taking care of. So, but if you go to kindfoundation.org.
And that is KYNE, so kindfoundation.org. Dennis, thank you very much for coming in and telling your story. That is Dennis Okwara, founder of the Lumule Foundation.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.